Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen.
Every Coptic month in the calendar has a theme. And the first 3 months of the Coptic year taught Baba and Hatur each of a theme. And just in case you didn't know, the theme of Tort, which is the first month, we're in Hatur, the theme of Tort is God, the Father, the lover of mankind. And so that's why we see the story of Zacchaeus on one of the Sundays, because God the Father drawing him back to himself. The theme of Baba, the second month of the Coptic year, is the sovereign God. And so the month of Baba, every Sunday there's some sort of miracle, some sort of healing. And that's what we see on one of the Sundays, the four men carrying their friend, lowering their friend down before the Lord, and the paralytic man being healed of both his paralysis and forgiveness of his sins. And the theme of this month is God, the Saviour of his people. And I just want to mention a few observations about today's gospel in just sort of 10 minutes or so, and then wrap up. But today is the fourth Sunday of Hatur, and it's all about the invitation of the Saviour to follow him and the rewards of following him. So just a few observations. The first observation in verse 17 about the rich young ruler. The first verse of the gospel is, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Something to point out, and this is the first observation. This is not the lawyer in Luke chapter 10 who asked the same question. And the fathers have said there is a big difference between the question of the rich young ruler and the lawyer who asked exactly the same question on another occasion. The fathers say this rich young ruler was sincere because he came running and he knelt before him. But the lawyer's question was different, because we see in Luke, behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, teacher, he didn't call him good, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Exactly the same question, one sincere, the other insincere. Now, despite the sad response of the rich young ruler at the end, there's something we can learn from him in his sincerity and his approach. We get this sense that he's running to the Lord because he's hungry. He's hungry and thirsty for something spiritual, not just riches. And he didn't just run. The Bible says he came running and knelt down. And it was customary in those times, if you were to kneel before somebody, you grabbed a hold of their knees or their legs or their feet. So for example, in the Old Testament, when the Shunammite woman wanted Elisha to raise her son from the dead, the Bible says she came kneeling before him and grabbed his knees and his legs, so that Elisha would respond to his request. So we have this beautiful image this morning of the ruler running, sincerely kneeling, sincerely grabbing his legs and saying, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And this image of running we see in the Old Testament too. The ruler is not the first person in the Old Testament to run to the Lord. Remember when the Lord and two angels visited Abraham? The Bible says Abraham came out of his tent and ran to meet them and bowed himself to the ground. Running. I'm not sure if many of you know the story of St. Theodora the Virgin. St. Theodora was a virgin who lived in Alexandria during the reign of Diocletian, and she was summoned to court because she was beautiful, and a nobleman wanted to marry her, but she said, no, I want to remain a virgin. And so the judge threatened her and said, I will give you 3 days to think about whether you want to marry this nobleman. If not, I will send you to a brothel, and you will have to work at the brothel. So after 3 days, of course, she didn't change her mind, and so she was ordered to go to a brothel and to work as a prostitute. So on the first night, suddenly a man ran into her room. But he was actually a Christian, a man by the name of Didymus, and he was dressed up as a soldier. He said, Theodora, take this cloak of a soldier, dress up as a soldier, and escape out of this brothel, and I will stay in your place. And so Didymus remained in the brothel. Of course, it was discovered that Theodora had escaped, and Didymus had stayed and taken her place. And so Didymus was sentenced to death for this scheme of allowing Theodora to escape. And so as Didymus was approaching the soldier to be executed, on his way, Theodora was in the crowd and she saw him. And the account of her life says that she ran to him and grabbed him and said, "You have the right to save my chastity, but you cannot steal my crown of martyrdom." And she was caught and beheaded. Running, she ran towards Didymus and ran towards her crown. So where are you running this morning? To whom are you running? Are you running to Christ? Are you running away from Christ? Are you sincerely searching for him like the ruler, or are you testing him like the lawyer? King Solomon says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." And in the Psalms, "I will run in the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart." Again, Isaiah, "Those who wait on the Lord shall run and not be weary." Where are you running? Are you running well? Is the question that St. Paul asks in Galatians. That's the first observation. The second observation is about the Lord in verse 21. "Teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth." That's the response of the ruler. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. It's a few words that we commonly pass over. Jesus, looking at him, loved him. So what was it? Was it a glance of affection? Was it something in his eyes? Was it some other physical gesture that the person who witnessed this event discovered that, yes, the Lord truly loves him? How did the writer, how did St. Mark know the Lord loved him as he looked at him? And St. Mark is the only writer who mentions this glance of affection, this love. St. Luke says the same story, but no mention of this love. St. Matthew says the same story, but no mention of this look. And I think one of the secrets to seeing, to discovering the beauty of this verse is commonly in the Jewish tradition, when somebody asked a rabbi a good question or gave a really good answer, the person asking the question would be kneeling before the rabbi, and the rabbi would kiss that person's forehead. And so there's one story where one man, Jewish man called Eliezer, came to a rabbi and he asked a question about Ezekiel's chariot. And when he finished, this Jewish tradition says, and the rabbi arose up and kissed his head. And so is it possible, just possible, that as the ruler was kneeling, that when the verse says the Lord looked at him and loved him, that the Lord knelt down and kissed his forehead to make the Lord's love visible? Are we kneeling before the Lord this morning, and are we feeling the kiss of his mouth? That's why in the Song of Songs it says, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." St. Augustine says, "People are renewed by love. As sinful desire ages them, love rejuvenates them." So this morning in the liturgy, let us enjoy the kiss, the glance of affection, the embrace of Christ rejuvenate us. And the third observation is in verse 29, which is the Lord's call to, the Lord's declaring that there is a reward for all those who leave everything for him. There was once a Russian Jewish American actor who came to the US from Russia. And he tells a story. He was amazed at how everything in the grocery store was full of instant products. And he says, "On my first shopping trip, I saw powdered milk. You just add water and you get milk. I saw powdered orange juice. You add water to the powder and you get orange juice. And then I saw baby powder." And I thought, wow, what a country. We claim to be a disciple or follower of Christ, but sometimes we don't truly understand what it involves. We think it's instant reward, instant miracles, and don't appreciate that discipleship is not just an instant formula or reward, but we're told to come and carry the cross, which is why St. Peter says, "Look, Lord, we've left all and followed you." And it's much, much easier You can fall into one of two categories. You can either be an admirer of Jesus, or you can be a follower. And what's the difference? An admirer, you can admire from a distance. You can be unaffected. But followers have their lives turned upside down. And sometimes we want to follow, but we're afraid. And yet something in us knows that following the Lord is where true life is really found. And so to address this fear, to address this doubt about following the Lord, this is the beautiful promise. So Jesus answered and said, "Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution and in the age to come." When I was in the monastery going on a retreat in Egypt 10 years ago, I was speaking to one of the monks about this verse. His name was Abuna John the Short. And we were talking about this verse, and I said to him, "Is this promise really fulfilled in your life? Do you really feel that because you've left the world, you've received all this?" He said to me, "Andrew, do you know how many mothers I have? Do you know how many brothers I have? Do you know how many sisters I have? Do you know how many acres of land I have? Look around you in the monastery." He said, "I have so many mothers." And he was talking about how every old lady would come and visit the monastery and give him a dish of food. He said, "It's true. I've left my mother, but the Lord has replaced her with hundreds of mothers. I've left my house, but the Lord has given all the land of the monastery for me to freely roam in." His promises are true. And this is exactly how the church interprets it. And I just want to conclude. And this is what the fathers have said. That if you believe in Christ and love his name, one, if you forsake a house, you will receive dwellings that are high above. If you leave a father, you will acquire the heavenly father. If you leave your brother, you will be taken up as a brother of Christ. If you leave your wife, you will find the house of wisdom descending from God above. As it is written, "Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin." And as through wisdom, as a wife, you will gain beautiful spiritual fruits and be joined to the company of angels. And if you leave your mother, you will find an incomparable mother, a much more exalted one, Jerusalem above, the mother of us all, which is free. So the Lord is calling us today not to be an admirer, but to be a follower and a disciple. And so the call is to accept the invitation to take up the cross and to follow him, and to remember that when we do that, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. And glory be to God forever and ever.